It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. That's C.C. Peniston in the song Finally. And finally, the Pirates have broken their North American major professional sports league record of 20 consecutive losing seasons this past week. The Bucks are guaranteed to finish no worse than 500, even if they lose every game between now and the end of the season, which lately it seems like they might. I'm joined now in Studio A by our sports guy, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus Bob Dvorak. His video blog is called Sportsnet. Bob Dvorak, good to see you.
Good to be here, Paul. As a matter of fact, today's Sportsnet is about the Pirates and the streak and how the world was different in 1992.
Well, we had that song we just heard, which was that was 1992. That's when the Pirates won a division championship and came within one very sad final play against the Braves of going to the World Series. What does the end, after 20 long years, after a generation of kids who grew up never knowing the Pirates having a winning season, what does the end of this losing streak mean for the psyche and the emotional well-being of the citizens of the city of Pittsburgh?
Well, just look at what's happened. Nobody knows how to react. Nobody knows what they're doing. They're just walking around in a daze with their pirate gear on saying, hey, it's over. But, unfortunately for the Pirates, I think they did lose one sponsor in all this, though. That was Medic Alert. We've fallen and we can't get up.
But they have gotten up. They have gotten up, and this is something that that means a lot to people here.
Oh, absolutely. Baseball's relevant again for the first time in 20 years. And, you know, I do my own informal polls. If you look at the apparel people are wearing, you see a whole lot of Pirate gear out there. They've displaced some of the Steelers and even some of the Penguin gear. So it elevates the mood, but it does cause pennant fever, which is irrational behavior, which means a four-game losing streak is the end of the world, too.
Well, no matter what happens, they'll finish 500, and you have to think they'll get at least one
sure.
more win, make it a winning season between now and 3 weeks. 3 weeks from now is when the season ends.
3 weeks from now, yes. A lot of baseball to be played, and you're jockeying. The key is to win the division because the other streak the Pirates are on, they have never gone longer than 35 years in their history without winning a World Series. They're at 33 and counting now. So maybe this is the year they end all the streaks all at once.
The NFL has settled a lawsuit brought by nearly 5,000 former players. They have agreed to pay $765 million to the players and their families. Does this settlement let the NFL off the hook?
Yes. Actually, it sounds like a big sum, and it is. But if you break it down over 20 years and the payment per each team, it's around the minimum salary you would pay to any player. But what it does, it prevents anybody from suing them further. It ends any litigation, and it also means that they don't have to admit they were wrong in any way, shape, or form, that they give the money out, and it helps players, yes, but in some cases, if somebody wanted to pursue it further, they're unable to. And the NFL is not admitting that we run a dangerous game, and if you play our game, you're going to get a head injury.
And that is something that the players were alleging. The players were saying that the NFL did not inform us properly about the dangers of concussions and what we might be facing later in life. You have a lot of players dealing with dementia and mental health issues. So, again, it comes back to, did the NFL get off easy?
Well, right. And the question is, how much did they know about the repercussions of head injuries to players? And were they upfront with them about what the dangers were? I mean, my sense is, Paul, that if you're a professional football player, you realize that that game is dangerous and you're taking a risk being out there, and you assume that risk when you do play. And the money today is substantial enough to say maybe mitigate that, whereas in the old days, they were playing for much lower salaries and it was hurting them. So I think it's an attempt. I really do think it's an attempt by the NFL to make good in some way, shape, or form to former players. But is it everything that they would have paid out had it gone to court? Probably not.
And a lot of the players are saying that the reason they settled is that there are a lot of players who need help now. They need the money now, and that's why they settled.
Absolutely. If you're going to get something now, with the possibility of getting more later, but that's an if, then you would take the sure thing now and take the money.
But many of these players are still unhappy. Why?
Well, because I don't think it does address the, you know, is it an admission of guilt? It's a, yeah, we knew, but we still let you play and didn't inform you of everything that you could, of every injury and that you could have incurred. So, does this make everybody whole? I don't think it makes everybody whole. It's a payment to get it off the books.
Who would have been or should have been responsible if there was someone whose duty it was to tell the players, now look, you've had X amount of concussions in your career. You are now running the risk of these any number of health problems in the future. Who would have been responsible for that? The coaches, the owners like the Rooneys? Who?
Well, or just the medical advisors, the doctors, the trainers, the people who have seen this stuff over and over again and say, look, if you go out there one more time, it's going to be curtains for you. Whereas, say, the coaches or the team, the franchises, the league itself would want star players to be out there again.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it's the 120th anniversary of the first football helmet ever worn. It was a guy from the Naval Academy, and a doctor told him if he ever got kicked in the head again, he would be risking instant insanity. That was in 1893. So it's not a new issue, but it certainly is at the forefront right now.
Is it conceivable that the NFL could have been sitting on some sort of information, that they would have been privy to something that the players would not have known about, and that it would have been incumbent upon the NFL to share that information with the players?
Well, yes, there were some medical studies done. Now, how far the NFL did go in, say, concealing that information, it's impossible to say.
Was it studies they commissioned?
No, they didn't commission them. There were some head trauma studies being done out there independently that really were finding this out, that the head injuries that football players were incurring were remarkably similar to what a boxer would incur with dementia after repeated blows to the head.
So then wouldn't the players have had the same access to this information, and therefore wouldn't it have been incumbent upon them to find out or to seek this information out?
Not necessarily. I mean, a player is focused on playing. I mean, a player just wants to play. And when he can't play anymore, they say, that's it. Well, then you start to look into some of the research. But, yeah, not necessarily. It's sort of like that one of those gray areas. If you know it and you don't say it, whose responsibility is it to find out?
We're talking with our sports guy, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette sports writer emeritus, Bob Dvorak. His video blog, again, is called Sportsnet. So NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is now saying that he is making the health and safety of the players a priority. Do you see him really doing that?
I think he's sincere in his efforts. I think he's taking steps, and I applaud the commissioner if that's his goal, to make it as safe a game as possible. The line he has to walk, though, is if you can make football safer, but is it going to be the football that appeals to the masses? Is that what people want to see? So it's that kind of a deal.
And if the profit line gets cut into, and that might be the commissioner calling you right now, if the profit line, the profit margin is cut into because of rules taking out some of the things that people, let's face it, that they like about the game, the violence, the contact, that kind of thing, then does that make safety less of a priority? Because let's face it, this is a business.
Well, absolutely. And don't forget, the NFL is the King Kong of sports. I mean, they have a product that the public has an insatiable hunger for. They'll watch it no matter what. No matter when it's played or wherever it's played, they're going to watch it. You see certain, say, warning signals coming up. The lower numbers of high school kids are playing football, and it's not just in Western Pennsylvania, it's across the country. There are fewer people playing football. One of the reasons you have to assume is that their parents are fearful of head injuries. There could be, yeah, there's other things, that there's so many other things going on, that there's other activities and other sports that kids want to play. But there, I think, is the fear of especially head injury that has caused a downturn in the number of participants.
We have seen some rules changes at the professional level this year in the NFL, in fact. What are we seeing?
Yeah, you're going to see some different interpretations of the rules. But, you know, to me, it's not so much the rules. It's technique and coaching and basics and fundamentals.
Not just equipment?
No, it's not just equipment. You can design the best equipment in the world, and it's not going to solve this issue alone. I mean, you could dress them up in knight's armor. It's not going to be very good football, and it's, you know, might be a little clumsy getting out of the pile, but no, it's technique. It's tackling technique and keeping your head up and not leading with your head. You know, some people think that the equipment is so good that it protects so well that the players have learned to use their heads and helmets as a weapon because they know they're not going to get hurt. It's the other guy that's going to get hurt.
Is there a possibility somewhere down the road that we won't see? We're seeing less football being played. We're seeing freshman teams being phased out. Is there a possibility that the game, because of the danger of it, could go away at some levels?
I don't think it goes away, but the participation diminishes so much that it does affect the quality of the game. The other thing you think about too, Paul, is you know, head injuries. They've addressed that. That's the focal point. But now they're tackling lower and ripping out knees and ankles.
So you take the emphasis, or you discourage players from hitting above the shoulders, making contact with the head, and then they're making contact with other vulnerable parts of the body.
Correct. So what's your target area? I think there needs to be a redefinition of what's a good, clean tackle and where you can hit a guy.
Bob Dvorak is sports writer emeritus at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. His video blog is called Sportsnet. Check it out. Again, he talks about the Pirates breaking their 20-year losing streak. Bob, as always, a pleasure to have you with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Great to be here, Paul, and important issues you're dealing with.
Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, a Syrian-American living in Pittsburgh shares his experience with the ongoing conflicts. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thanks for listening.